Hi, Gail, I'm back.
Okay. Would you like me to take roll?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Yep.
We have quorum.
We'll move on to number six, review, consideration, and possible action regarding request for probation termination. That's on Jason Porter, 6A. And I'll have Ms. Anthony give us an overview.
Okay. And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, on 8/27/2021, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board entered into a consent agreement with Dr. Jason Porter relating to case number 20-168. The agreement stipulated probation, license restriction, and continuing medical education. On November 26, 2020, a grand jury indictment was filed relating to Dr. Porter, listing 10 counts of the use of another physician's DEA registration. These are the same circumstances that were addressed in the board case 2168. As a result of the district court criminal case, respondent entered into a pretrial diversion agreement. Dr. Porter has completed the required CME as outlined in the board's consent agreement. Dr. Porter has submitted a request for probation termination relating to the board's consent agreement. Upon review of the CSPMP covering the time period, Dr. Porter has been under probation. Several instances of potential restricted prescriptions were found. 11-3-2021, Lunesta. 9-8-21, Zolpidem. 1-14-2022, Lunesta. 3-24-2022, Zolpidem. And 4-25-2022, Zolpidem.
Dr. Porter on the line? Yes. Dr. Porter, are you on the line? Yeah, he said he'd be attending, or was he unable to attend?
He did it either way. He's been notified of the time and date.
Okay. So, when I went through his consent agreement, I believe it was page 6 of the consent agreement, line number 21, and it goes through benzodiazepine, then also it goes to sedatives, barbiturates, etc. If we look at that class of medication that he has prescribed, according to all the various resources that I have, that the other physician members also have, and also with the DEA resource guide 2020 edition, he basically wrote the medications that were in his consent agreement that he wasn't supposed to write. So, and I don't know if there was PMTs pulled, he pulled on these patients for the Lunesta, Zolpidem, or whether he didn't, but I need to get the physician board members, get their viewpoint. So if I could get Dr. Popio to give me his viewpoint, that would be good.
And so my recollection, too, in this case was that we came to a consent agreement and decided to hold off on any additional decisions until the case with the DEA was resolved, and, you know, and then with the idea that we would bring it back in front of the board and decide how to proceed. So based on this, I understand that the case was dismissed. However, an agreement was reached, and in that agreement, it clearly states that he is agreeing to the statement that I knowingly used another physician's DEA number to go ahead and write a prescription. So, In my opinion, in no way, shape, or form are we proceeding forward with letting this physician resume all activities. If anything, to me, this is further evidence that based on, you know, what he's agreed to and what he's admitted to, we need to take further action on deciding how we're going to proceed with allowing him to do prescriptions, what prescriptions he's going to be allowed to do, and now finding out that, you know, he's obviously written some additional scripts that are in his consent agreement. You know, to me, the additional restrictions would be needed moving forward. And I'm not in favor of, you know, moving forward now that his consent agreement has expired and just allowing him to proceed forward with prescribing everything again.
Dr. Pat, you're on pause.
What the decision would be on this case? Thank you.
Yeah, Dr. Campbell.
I agree with everything shared by Dr. Popiel, and I'm not sure now that we have a violation of a consent agreement what the next step would be, or if there's a or if that substantiates creating a case, or, you know, how that works, but, you know, definitely something that we need to address.
Dr. Tibbetts.
I agree with Dr. Tibbetts.
I have some ideas, but I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session for further legal advice. I'll make the motion. I'll need a second.
I'll second it. That's just Steve Alana.
All those in favor?
Yep.
Hi.
Any opposed?
Okay.
Motion carries.
I'm juggling it all now. It's 2:47 p.m. and we're back at the jail session. So for formality, let's go ahead and roll.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popiel?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Here.
We have quorum.
Okay. So we are on number 6, and 6A was basically a request for possible action regarding request probation termination. That was Jason Porter. So we'll need a motion on that. I can craft one, or if another board member would like to craft one, that would be good also. We had a consent agreement. There's problems with the consent agreement. The request for termination would need to be tabled at this current time. And then we have a couple of items that we need to get clarified. So I would open up a new case, and that would be based on 3215-01-31NN. And that would
do we need to take a vote to table item number 6 or no?
That would be the
Hey, Doctor, I'm Dr. Porter. I'm here. This is
Dr. Porter.
I'm on line.
We asked for you before, and you weren't there. So
okay. We're
in the middle of doing a motion right now.
And Mr. Chair, I would say it's in your discretion whether or not you want to allow Dr. Porter an opportunity to present his side of the case since he has now appeared.
Okay, Porter, go ahead.
I'm sorry. First thing, I'm sorry I'm late. I didn't have a sorry I'm late. Just busy day. I understand that I put in a request for termination of probation. Gil responded back to me in an email saying that my prescribing of Ambien and Lunesta violated the probation, but I was not under the impression that those two were included under the consent agreement. So my understanding when reading it, there was a lot of things that were very specifically mentioned. There was a class two was specifically mentioned. And so my understanding when I read it, it seemed very clear to me. I didn't have any inclination that by that you meant also other classes or other medications that included Alprazolam or Ambien. I wish that it had been more, I guess, clearly defined or written out specifically if that was part of, I guess, the intent. I guess that sounds like that's what was intended based on the conversation, but it wasn't clear to me, and I wish it was more clear.
Well, where it becomes problematic is on the consent agreement that you sign on page 6 of the consent agreement. I'm just going with the consent agreement currently. We got the benzodiazepine, but then there's also sedative or barbiturate. And if you look at Lunesta and Ambien, and you use a couple resources, you can even go to the DEA 2020 edition guide look. Those are sedatives. So that was on page 6, number 21.
Well, I understand. Yeah, I completely accept and understand that position. You know, the way I read it, and again, English language is tough, I just thought when you had written that you said, you know, I think clonazepam and then comma and sedatives. I just thought you meant all the class of benzodiazepines. That's what I thought you meant by that. So I can see your point. I can't argue with it because, again, if your language is language. So, but I could say you can tell at this point, I did my best as far as how I understood it, to avoid all those other controlled medications. Obviously, my intent was not to go against the board. Why, would I sign it and then go ahead and proceed to prescribe controlled meds that were intended not to be prescribed? But, I appreciate the language issue. It's not how I read it, and my lawyer reviewed it, I reviewed it, and neither one of us came to that conclusion. That's what was meant. So it didn't come to my mind, but I understand that point of view.
Dr. Porter, let me ask you, if you, I guess you weren't uncertain, but if you were uncertain, you could always extend out to the executive director who could have extended out to the board members for you.
I had no suspicion or concern that was intended by the consent agreement. Otherwise, we would have asked, and we did on many occasions reach out to clarify issues in regards to the consent with Gail, and she answered those questions. So I didn't have any problem with communicating if we did have a concern. I just somehow, in my, reading and appreciating that, I just didn't read into that way.
So let me ask my other board members where they are. Because we've got we were having a motion, you know, pending here, but you got on the phone. So let me, Dr. Papil, let me drop down to you, and we'll go from there.
I don't think we change. I think we proceed forward with the conversation we had as far as tabling the decision on what shall I say, you know, the previous consent agreement as well as the motion to open a new case.
Okay.
Can I add something else here? I mean, I know that everybody can appreciate, or maybe you don't appreciate, where I've been in the last 20 months, but as you know, I was indicted, and I've been, you know, fighting with the U.S. Attorney's Office based on claims from Dr. Kiefer and the investigation done by DEA. Those things have been dismissed, but in the process, I had to complete, for their agreement or my agreement, had to complete an additional 35 hours of continuing education and 30 hours of community service. I mean, I've been, this all began with false witnesses from Dr. Kiefer, with an investigation initiated by the Department of Public Safety, DPS. You know, and again, I've been through a lot in the last 20 months, in the last year. I've done my best to meet everybody's demands. There's been, at this point, no criminal actions that have been solidified or confirmed by anybody. And again, I have a small group of patients that have really been patient and doing their best to survive. And again, I feel like my point of view is I think I've been through enough and paid a price of big enough here. If there's a miscommunication, I just don't want to see this being delayed and put off again and again. I just don't think it's fair to me at this point.
Dr. Popeo.
Dr. Porter, I guess, you know, that was kind of the conversation we were having is, I understand that the case has been dropped, but in that statement of the case being dropped is also the, what shall I say, the statement from you and or agreement from you that you did in fact use another physician's DEA.
No, that is not the case.
That's
is
what
not
it says,
the case.
I'm just going based on what
no,
it says.
That
so maybe
is
you
not
could provide some clarity.
No, that is not the case. The only thing that the U.S. Attorney's Office could come to a conclusion was is that the only thing that I would admit to is we didn't chart enough. Nobody charted enough. Dr. Kiefer didn't chart. I didn't chart. But since there's an indictment against me, I still have to pay a price. That's what they said. There's some, yeah, you know, I still have to do something. But again, I've never admitted, nor has anybody proven that I took or used Dr. Kiefer's DA or name to prescribe anybody medication. Again, we have testimony and witnesses that are contrary to that. And that's what we presented to the U.S. Attorney's Office. So I understand that, but again, that has never been a part of the agreement.
Okay. Well, I'm just reading.
That's why I didn't go to trial.
Pre-trial. I'm reading the agreement for pretrial diversion. And it says you're reported to have committed offenses, et cetera, in that you did knowingly and intentionally use a U.S. Department of Drug Administration registration number that was issued to another person in the course of dispensing Schedule 4 controlled substance.
What is the date of that document? What is the date of that document?
Hold on.
That's not a document I signed
May
for.
11th. Yes, it is. You actually signed it on May 11th, 2022.
No. Again, I've never admitted to using
I'm looking at the documents that were provided to us, and they're just stating that you agree that you did knowingly use somebody else's DEA. So I don't know what to
no,
tell you other
that,
than
that,
maybe we should look at this.
No, I would never sign an agreement like that.
Okay.
And,
well,
and
my confusion.
I need to see that official document,
and I'm looking at it.
Mr. Chair, members,
Dr. Porter,
this is Justin. Just really quick, you know, I mean, what we're here on is a request for termination from probation.
Yeah.
I think the board was about to arrive at a conclusion on that, or at least a, you know, temporary conclusion on that, and decide, you know, how it wants to proceed from here. I don't think we need to get too deep into the substance, especially since, you know, this matter was not agendized, it was only agendized for, you know, that narrow purpose. So I would recommend that we sort of, you know, move forward, and if there were, the board wants to conduct further investigation on anything further, then we just vote to open a new case and go from there.
Okay. Dr. Porter, in order for time, because we did look for you, you know, probably 40 minutes ago. So we have to come up to closure on, you're asking for your consent agreement to basically expire. So we're not able to do that at this time. And then there was some question about 8-6, again, number 21, that we need to have the executive director look at, and we'll have to open up an issue and take a look at what transpired with that. So at this current point, I'm trying to move the case along. You're busy. My board members are trying to move this case along. We can't go ahead and grant you basic termination of a consent agreement when there's some problems. So,
What are the problems? What are the problems?
Okay, well, we went through this numerous times. But I'll make it one last time. So, it's basically the violation of the consent agreement, which you disagree with, which is fine. But that's why we can all visit this again.
Yeah.
And that's page 6, number 21, sentence number 21. So, it would be to review this again, and this would be as case 32-1501-31 N as in Nancy, and that would allow Ms. Anthony and perhaps you also to help provide some clarity for our next meeting as to what transpired. So the motion is basically we have to deny the request to terminate your current agreement, and then Ms. Anthony will have to look into these other issues.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, was it, because earlier you said, were you going to table the whether or not to grant the request just while Ms. Anthony, because I understand part of the motion is to direct Gail to open a new case as to whether he violated the consent agreement.
Correct.
So that being the case, should we just table the request for termination for the time being so that Gail can do that investigation?
Correct.
Okay.
So with that motion out on the table, we'll need a second, and then we'll need roll call.
Second the motion.
And Gail, can you go ahead and give us
roll call? Yes. Roll call. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen? Ms. Gallen?
Sorry, I didn't get unmuted. Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving along, we have to move on to item number 7. This is review consideration of possible action regarding exempt rule relating to fees. This is executive director here, so I'll turn it over to her at this point.
And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, at the meeting of February 10th, 2022, the board approved removing the requirement for certificate to engage in clinical training. The removal of the statute has to be done through legislation. At that time, I reached out to find support for the bill. However, found it was too far into the legislative session to drop a new bill. I reported to the board that I would need to wait until 2023 session. Because of the delay in an effort to reduce the financial burden for the students at Southwest College in the interim, the possibility of reducing the fee for both the initial application for certificate and the renewal application for certificate to $0 was discussed. Because of the role moratorium through EO 2022-01, prior approval for the rules must be obtained from the governor's office in order to move forward with the rulemaking. Request was submitted for approval and has been, the approval has been obtained. I noted in the request the possibility of further reduction of financial burden to the students by reducing the fee of the jurisprudence exam. Statute requires an application for clinical training certificate to take and pass the jurisprudence exam. Further, statute requires applicants for medical license to take and pass the jurisprudence exam. I propose reducing the fee for the examination from the current $60 to $30. The examination is now given online, but does not require, but does require 1 hour of staff time to monitor the applicant, taking the exam, and to grade the examination. So $30 seems to be an appropriate fee based on administrative costs. So I'm requesting the following of the board be a vote, a final approval of reduction of the fee associated with the application for clinical training for $100 to zero, final approval of reduction of the fee associated with the application for renewal of clinical training from $225 to zero, final approval of reduction of the late fee associated with the renewal from $113 to zero, and approval of reduction of fee associated with the jurisprudence examination from $60 to $30.
Board members, questions or ideas? Dale, do you need us to do a vote for you on this?
I need a vote on all four of those, if possible.
Do you want to do them separately, or do you want to do them all at once?
I think we can do them all at once.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can do them separately or together, however you want.
And let's go ahead and do them together. So I would agree, you want me to do the ARS 32-43103A scale to kick it off with?
I'm not sure.
Then basically the action regarding exempt rule regulating fees.
I think you could, Mr. Chair, I think you could just make a motion to approve the request unless anyone has any objections or anything
you
want to discuss.
1 through 4?
Yeah.
Okay. So number 7, I'll put the motion out there that we consent to the rule regulating the fees 1 through 4. I'll make a motion that we accept that.
I second that.
Roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Let's move on to number 9.
And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, my apologies for including so much on this report. The budget numbers so far have not been received by CSB, so I couldn't complete that from FY22. But we did get a total appropriation of $212,000 this year for our FY2023. The current numbers are moving upwards. Board cases under investigation, I actually have none of them until you guys opened one this afternoon, so thanks. But in the first time in 20 years, I have had absolutely no cases under investigation. The new licensing software, we're still looking at maybe the end of this year or January, February of next year. The rules we just went over, the exempt rules, I did the response to our sunset audit core response. So you have those. I did the budget. You have that. And AZIPS, you have that. So did anybody have any questions on any of those?
Yeah,
I didn't.
Currently, board takes under investigation is currently zero. I know we have a coming out, but we have none under current investigation, except obviously that may change.
Right.
I don't have any other questions in reference to A through H.
Okay. All right. Thank you, board.
And I do have one quick question on the case that was with the formal hearing that took place in July. What's the typical time frame for a turnaround on those cases, the formal hearing cases?
I'm sorry, which one was that?
From Dr. Huber, the case that was heard on July 25th.
Okay, maybe Justin can answer that. Yes.
Mr. Chair, members, since I'm in the position of being the prosecutor in that
true.
Case, I can't advise the board on the case. I can tell you though, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward rule that the final rebuttal closing argument was I submitted on Tuesday of this week, and so the administrative law just has 20 days after that final submission to render a decision. And after that, there's some, you know, further procedure, which, you know, there will be an independent advisor assigned to advise the board on that. But I figured I could just take the liberty of telling them that much because it's pretty straightforward.
Okay, thank you.
Justin,
that
will come back from OLA, probably updated in would be in October's meeting, then, I guess.
It's hard to say. It depends on the timing, but we'll have an independent advisor assigned soon who will be able to answer more questions about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board? Okay. Let's move to number 10. Any board members have future agenda items they want?
I don't know if I have time, but what about this statement coming from the board of, or the plastic surgeons? Do we need to do anything with that statement that Gail sent over the other day about minor surgery and everything?
Do we have, I think we all got a copy of that letter. Did the ADMA, I think you mentioned, Gail, they got a copy of that too. Is the ADMA on the phone? No, he's not there today. As far as I know, and I don't want to speak for Gail, but she sent that over to Baron Gaswell over at the ADMA. I don't know which way he'll proceed.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is Baron Glasgow with the ADMA.
Perfect. What is everybody's kind of definitions of minor surgery? I didn't know where you guys stood on getting kind of the feedback from the community.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Dr. Appeal, members of the board, we have a minor surgery task force that's making steady progress on recommendations. We meet about every 3 weeks, and we anticipate having a recommendation going to our board in October, and so it would probably be the November meeting when we believe that we may be ready to present something to your board.
Okay. That sounds good to me.
Any other items we need?
What's going to happen with that regarding about the 30 unit? We go down to 20 CME unit per year. Oh, what happened with that? Do we need to do anything as well?
And Dr. Sadlick, if I may, that is in a separate rules package that I need to go through the same sort of process and get approval from the governor's office to move forward with that rules package. And then the board can address that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Sadlick, it appears Karen Tibbetts just dropped off the call.
Okay. So let me know that 314, left the meeting. Circling back to number 10, some good questions. Anything else you have on number 10? Number 11, calls to the public. Is there anyone in the public who would like to address the board? Okay. Number 11 is done. And we're on to number 12, and it's 3:15, and we're into adjournment. Thank you, everybody, for your participation.
Thank you.